Thank you, Mr. Wes Tuttle. Appreciate getting us into a worship mood to study the Word of God. So let's open the Word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This Memorial Day weekend, which at the second hour we will pay some tribute to the men and women who have served in our nation's history. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of this prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Spirit who is the teacher. Let us pray. Now, Father, this is a local assembly, and we have been in a study in this epistle of 1 Corinthians of a local assembly who have been enriched with every spiritual gift necessary for the fulfillment of their mission. And we know, Heavenly Father, we have been enriched with every spiritual gift that is necessary for us to fulfill the ministry, the purpose, and the design of this local assembly. So, Father, pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see as we look at the verses before us, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we have moved now to verse 7 in our study, and the root verb goes back to you have been enriched, and verse 5, and everything you were enriched. And now we come to verse 7, so that you are not lacking in any gift. You've been enriched in every spiritual gift so that you're not lacking in any spiritual gift. And then we have an interesting phrase, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have found myself to be very delinquent as far as emphasizing that this is the way that we ought to live, in anticipation and waiting eagerly for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so let's take a look at what we have now, awaiting eagerly, and we took that up. Now let's take a look, since we've covered that, at what we're waiting eagerly for, the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Let's take a look at what we're looking at is the Word. Now, point one, we're dealing with the Word. And the Word, as you can see, is apocalypsis. Now, put it on the board because the word apocalypse, is even movies named Apocalypse Now and Apocalypse. And this is where it comes from, apocalypsis. The root word comes from kalupto, which means to cover, to veil. And then you add that prefix, apo, to uncover, to unveil, to reveal, to disclose, to make a revelation. In fact, Revelation 1:1, the revelation, and that is the apocalypsis of Jesus Christ. So this is where the word comes from that we're looking at in the Bible, and not only in our text, but throughout the Bible. Now, point two. The word is used 17 times in the New Testament and was also very rare in classical Greek before the Holy Spirit gave it a special meaning and context dealing with the covering, the coming of Jesus Christ. And when this happens, the revelation of Jesus Christ does occur, and we're going to note two different occurrences of this word in the life of Christ, but in the history of Christ to come. But unbelievers are going to be in fear when this happens, and because the world is just getting more and more anti-God, anti-Jesus Christ, denying their existence. And I just heard this week over the radio news that in Oakland, California, which is, of course, where these kind of things are always going to start, they're trying to have to make it mandatory, a generic course for the kids, and parents are not allowed to opt their children out, but it's to teach them that homosexuality and lesbianism is part of nature and should be done. And they're trying to make it work. The parents cannot opt their children out of this thing. And but see, people, this doesn't surprise me at all. Once you remove God, then you have nothing left but evolution. If evolution, then we're just animals. We need to be taken care of and taught. In fact, the news thing that I heard said that they just go back and show how in the animal kingdom, and most of the animal kingdom, they didn't say all, there's no just one mate for one mate, and there's the mixture of male, maybe female. It's just nature. And this is what ought to be. This shouldn't alarm us at all. This shouldn't surprise us. Once you remove God, you have no standard. But what standard do you go by that a man is the head of the house? What standard if you remove the Bible? What standard is there? There isn't any. What standard do you have of one man, one woman in marriage? You remove the Bible, you don't have any. So this is what's going on. So the world is going to be in shock at the revelation of the man that they've denied, the person of Jesus Christ. And, of course, believers will rejoice at either of these. Now, point three. The word means uncovering, unveiling, disclosure, revelation. And it deals with the future manifestation of Jesus Christ. This is what we are to eagerly await for, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, point four, the word is preceded by the definite article. Now, these are important for us understanding the Bible. And that definite article, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the a definite article is specifying the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, very quickly, our, by personal faith in Jesus Christ, He becomes a personal Savior of us. Lord, He is our Lord and Master. God makes Him Lord, not you. He is not your Lord. He is your Lord by virtue of faith in Christ, but as far as being Lord over your life, you've got to grow in the Word, walk in the power of the Spirit, and you become more and more aware of that He is the Lord. Then we have Jesus, which primarily emphasizes the humanity, suffered and died spiritually for us on the cross, and then Christ, specifically identifying the deity of Jesus Christ, who out of His love as God, became man to die, take the place of man on the earth. Then we come to point five. Our God is a personal God who has revealed Himself, made Himself known in two ways, in the written word, and that is also in the living word. The written word is the Bible. We can learn about God. He has not left Himself to be a mystery. He is revealed in this book and in the living Word, that is Jesus Christ. Now, point six. There were a few people who saw Jesus Christ in His pre-resurrected body, like the disciples and just friends, Mary and Martha, Lazarus. Just a lot of people that did, not a lot, but several people saw Jesus Christ in His pre-resurrected body. There were a few people who saw Him in His resurrected body. We have not seen Him, but we have the promise from God that we will see Him, and we will be like Him. If you will open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. You'll have John 14, but also 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, and that's what we want to read together. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Is everybody there? Okay. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us. In fact, we know from the Gospel of John 15, it hates us. Because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, and that's what we're dealing with, the revelation of Jesus Christ, we will be like Him because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope, this confidence, fixed on Him, purifies pure. So people, we're to live our life in anticipation of seeing Him just as He is. We will be just like Him. All right, this brings us to point 7. This word is used in two different revelations of Jesus Christ. Two different revelations of Jesus Christ. First, His second coming. The second coming of Christ, and I've given you some references, 1 Peter 4:13, 2 Thessalonians 1:7, Luke 17:30, the second coming. This is at the end of the last 7 years of the age of Israel, also known as the years of tribulation. But it's primarily those are the last 7 years of the age of Israel. They are going to be years of tribulation. But people argue about, well, is it half-trib, mid-trib, and all this other stuff. Those are the 7 years, not of tribulation. Those are the 7 years of Israel. And I want you to get that firmly in your mind. And while there will be tribulation, and then there will be the great tribulation, they are really the 7 years of Israel. And at the end of the 7 years, the last 7 years of the promised 490 years of the age of Israel, then Jesus Christ will come again, victoriously. He came the first time to take care of sin. He comes the second time to remove all unbelievers from the earth for the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Okay, now the second one. The second one is used for the rapture of the church, where He will be revealed to every believer of the church age. We will meet Him in the air. And people, this should characterize our lives, waiting to see Him as He is, for we will be like Him. But the second revelation, actually it would be the first revelation. The first revelation of Christ is the rapture of the church, when we go up and we see Him in the air. Then, after the 7 years of the age, the last 7 years of the promise to Israel, then He will come again, and the whole world will see Him. But only the body of Christ will see Him at this first revelation of Christ, the rapture of the church. Any questions on the two revelations of Jesus Christ? Okay. Now, this is very important. We understand where this occurs and how this occurs. So I should have put the second one first, but everyone is well in tune with the second coming of Christ. But there's going to be a revelation of Christ before then for the church, for born-again believers only. So this is going to be, and we will meet Him in the air, and then we will go on with the judgment seat of Christ, and where the rewards will be given, and then we come to the great marriage, and then we come back to earth. But avoid getting caught up in all of this, the end of the world, the day of judgment stupidity. This is God's timing, people. This is God's timing, when all of this is going to occur. This yo-yo, and no, He's now predicting another time. He's going to keep working at it. Keep working. But what is amazing, that to me is not amazing. That to me is not amazing. What's amazing is the number of people following this yo-yo. I mean, my goodness. It just, I hate to say it because I'm getting there too, but he's so old, he's probably got dementia or something. I don't know. But don't get caught up on all of that. Live for that day when we will see him in the air. But don't get caught up in all of those type of things. So this is God's perfect timing. All right, our passage says then, waiting eagerly for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, think about it. Think about this. Why? Why do you study the Bible? Why do we endure suffering? If indeed you do, without fainting. Why do we endure tribulation? Endure tribulation in life? Why would we suffer for Jesus Christ if called upon to do so? Why do we meet here? Why do we carry a Bible? Why do we read the Bible? Why do we do all the things in this area that we do? People, if it is not because of you and I believing, he is going to come. I will see him. I will see him one day. Now, I have believed this since I was a young lad and anticipated far to the seeing of Jesus Christ, waiting eagerly. Waiting. Now, let's take a look at waiting. People, we do not sit down in a chair and wait. We do not become monks and go live in some little monastery, walking around in a robe, praying all the time, which I don't think their prayers are heard, all this type of thing. People, we go on with our life. We go on and live. Let's go through a couple of things. Point one. Let's look at our word to wait eagerly. It carries with it the ideal of everything that you do is anticipation of seeing and being with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it not, people? Why are you in Bible study? Why do we live our lives as we do? Why don't we live our life as the heathen world does? Eat, drink, be merry. There's no tomorrow. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're immoral. It doesn't matter if you abuse people. It doesn't matter if you gossip, malign. It doesn't matter if you murder. None of this stuff matters. We die, it's over. Or is it? Why do we do what we do? It's because we wait with eager anticipation the coming of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We persevere in our tribulations during this period. Point two. Let's note the verb in context, waiting eagerly in context. We saw last Sunday that it's a present middle participle. And I don't know if you noticed it or not. Well, we looked at the present tense and we looked at the middle voice. We didn't look at the participle. Let's take a look at the participle now and the importance of that participle. This is what is classified, people, as a circumstantial participle. Now, what does that mean? Circumstantial participle. This participle introduces another circumstance that accompanies the action of the main verb. Now, what's the main verb? The aorist passive indicative of protizo, you were enriched. You are enriched, and accompanying your being enriched is the action of waiting for the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see it? We are enriched with spiritual gifts individually. Now here it's talking about, in context, talking about the whole assembly of Corinth. But each of us are given a spiritual gift. And while we're exercising that spiritual gift, we are eagerly waiting. So it goes along together. Spiritual gift to serve him, but while we're serving him, parallel with that is we're living in anticipation of his coming. You were enriched for the purpose of waiting with confidence the revelation of Jesus Christ. While we're waiting eagerly for the revelation of Jesus Christ, people, while we're waiting, we're using our spiritual gift to serve him. God enriches you with a spiritual gift. And accompanying your using of that spiritual gift, you're eagerly waiting on the coming of the Lord. So while you're eagerly waiting on the revelation of Jesus Christ, you serve the local assembly by witnessing for Jesus Christ. See? That's what's going on in this context. So I hope I made this clear now. You were enriched so that you could serve Him, and along with serving Him with your spiritual gift, you were waiting eagerly for the coming of the Lord. That's why we're doing it. If He's not going to come, if I'm not going to see Him, then don't have to do all this other stuff. Why do it? That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, we saw on Resurrection Sunday morning, we're to be the most pitied people on earth. If there is no revelation of Christ, we're to be pitied. How foolish. How really foolish of Christians to live their life anticipating the revelation of Christ and it doesn't happen. So, this is why we live our life as we do. Stephen Hawking, revered physicist in England. I mean, genius doesn't even classify this man's brain. But he's a perfect example of being wise. He became a fool. He says there's no God and all this stuff is just fairy tale stuff. But you and I made a decision. No, it isn't. This is reality. And I'm going to see Him and be with Him as He is one day. Point three. We are to eagerly wait. Or wait eagerly. But we are to move on with our lives. Growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Being a witness of Jesus Christ. Proclaiming the gospel. But all the time, eagerly looking forward to His return. We marry, we children, go on with our lives, but all the way through, we're eagerly waiting. One day, He will come. Point four. Closely involved in eagerly waiting is the hope and perseverance of faith. That is, we endure tribulation by continually walking the power of the Holy Spirit by faith. Let me put on the board for you so we can look at it together. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 25. Now let's take a look at it and kind of examine it here together. Okay. But if we hope for what we do not see, and actually, it's first class condition, so it should be translated since. Since we hope, since we have the confidence for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. And this verse really puts our life in perspective. We hope, have that confidence for what we do not see, that is the revelation of Jesus Christ, with perseverance of faith, perseverance in tribulation, we wait eagerly for that revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? Point five. Along with waiting for the revelation of Jesus Christ, we're waiting for our own resurrected body. Our own resurrected body. See? They go together. We wait for our own resurrected body. Our souls have been secured in Christ, but not our bodies. But not our bodies. So we wait with eagerness for the resurrected body. And I can tell you right now, the older I get, and the more worn out this body gets, and the wider it gets, and the eyes start going, the hearing starts going, everything starts falling apart, boy, I'm eagerly waiting a resurrected body. Where all those things are no more. So, while we're eagerly waiting for Jesus Christ, we're eagerly waiting our own resurrected body, because we'll have a body just like His. We saw that in 1 John 3. Now look at Romans 8 together. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 together. And let's read Romans 8. 23 through 25. Romans 8, 23 through 25. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly, there's our word, for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, in confidence we have been saved. But confidence that is seen is not confidence, not hope. For why does one hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Okay, people, we're waiting eagerly for the revelation of Jesus Christ, and for therein is going to lie our own receiving of our own resurrected body. Okay, let's go to point six now. With the revelation or revealing of Jesus Christ, with the revelation or the revealing of Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 3, while we're working on a little technical problem here. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3 now. Now what we're doing is we're looking at point 6. With the revelation of Jesus Christ, we also will be revealed. Not here on earth, but with the revelation of Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, and if you're a believer in Christ, you have, keep seeking the things above. Boy, how we get caught up on seeking the things here. Things, possessions, property, clothes, looks. Oh, my goodness. But the Word encourages us, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is right now, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above. Verse 1, seek the things above. Verse 2, set your mind on the things above. Let me tell you something, people. One reason many Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression is oriented to this earth. I don't know anyone that suffers stress, anxiety, and depression keeping their mind set on above unless they just want to hurry up and get there. That might give them a little tension. Stress, anxiety, and depression come from thinking and occupied with things here on earth. What I have, what I don't have, what somebody else has. All these kinds of things. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. People, this is how we are to live. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. How we seek to hold on to things on earth, which we're going to lose when you die. And you don't have to hold on to the spiritual things. They're yours. They're already yours. You don't have to work for them. They're already yours. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, I like to translate who should be, who is our life, and if you're a believer and in the Spirit, He is your life. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, that's what we're studying, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. So people, when we eagerly wait the revelation of Christ, we're waiting things about ourselves. Our resurrected body. The revealing of ourselves with Him in glory. Verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. In other words, what he's saying here is, people, we get so tied up on the things on the earth, but let me show you something. We are not immoral, impure. We do not have these evil desires. But why not? Why do we strive not to do these things? Because the revelation of Jesus Christ, we're dead to these things. That's why. This is powerful. The eagerly waiting the revelation of Christ should affect our daily lives right now. Verse 6. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And the world today is just more and more denying the wrath of God, even believers, religious people. Verse 7, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them, But now you also, but now, I love that, but now, something's happened. You're now a believer in Christ. You're dead in these things. You've died with Christ and raised a new life. But now you also put them on, put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Why do we live the way we live? Because of the revelation of Christ. Verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, Gentile and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave, free man. But Christ is all in all. So people, point six, point five, we'll have a resurrected body. At his revealing, people, what's it going to be like? All I can do is just say, well, I think it's going to be like our present body, only in a whole different chemical makeup, structural makeup. The countenance will be yours. And the reason I say that is because the accounts of those that saw the resurrected Jesus Christ, they didn't say he had one eye. They didn't say he had one big ear. They didn't say he was built any differently, structured any differently. They touched his hands. They touched his side. We're going to have a body like his. We know we're going to know each other. So our countenance will be our own. And at the revealing of Christ, just leave it. You want to know what it's going to be like? How old are we going to be? How old are we going to be? I got an email this last week. How old are we going to be in the resurrected body and these type of things? Well, one, I like it that they do believe in the resurrected body. But people, age is only important to us. Got to understand that. Age is only important to us here on earth. And really, when you get down to that type of answer, if you want to answer it that way, in America, we'll answer it one way. Well, let's see. Your prime age is around 33. But if you're in Africa, people, your prime age is about maybe 18. That's your prime age, 18. Now, if you're in the age of Methuselah, I don't know, maybe your prime age was 400. So, I don't know. I don't know. But I'll know at the revelation of Christ. Ah, that's what it's like. See there? That's what it's like. You kept asking me? There and now you see it. That's the best that I can do. Now in point six, we'll get to be revealed. Colossians 3, 1 through 11. To see, this is anticipation on how we should live our lives, people. That's what's going on in the Colossian passage. It's how we're going to live our lives. Principle of waiting eagerly. I try to think of an example. And the best example that I could come up with, just without being, you know, real clever and fancy and everything. Just, we're responders. We're the bride of Christ. Let's just take a young lady. Just take a young girl. And I'm just going to pick some ages. We can be flexible on it. But let's say around 15, 16. Well, maybe even earlier now. I want to get married one day. So, she starts anticipating that marriage. Starts anticipating meeting that man. So what does she do? She withholds her body, giving her body away. It isn't a matter of moral and immoral. It isn't a matter of sin and no sin. It's just, I'm saving my body. I'm saving my body for this man. And she starts work. She improves herself. Maybe her education. Maybe this, maybe that, whatever it is. But she's doing all, while she's doing all these things, she's anticipating eagerly meeting that man and marrying him. Well, this is how we're to live. Doesn't mean we sit down and just do nothing. No, we go on and live. We're anticipating something wonderful. And we're getting ready for that. And I hope, my prayer is that every one of you here in this assembly, and maybe those of you listening on the internet, know him, so that when you meet him, you don't meet a stranger. He's your Savior, but do you know him as a friend? People have different ideas. Well, when we see him, we should just all bow down. I'm sorry. I have this view of just walking up, shaking his hand and hugging him. He's my friend. I've known him since I was 7 years of age. And when I see him, I will see a friend. When I meet him, I will meet a friend. And the more I study his word, the more friendship I have with him. And there are a few people like that that I don't even know. I feel such a close attachment since we studied it a couple of weeks ago with Whitaker Chambers. Never saw him while he was alive. Don't even think I saw him on TV. If I did, I didn't know who he was. So I've never met the man. I'll meet a friend. He and I have like hearts. We're kindred spirit. And I look forward to meeting Whitaker Chambers, walking up, shaking his hand, hugging him. See? And I hope you have that with Jesus Christ. At the revelation of Christ, it'll be, there's my friend. That's what my friend looks like. I am so thankful. And I mean it. I am so thankful that the camera wasn't invented until much, 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 much later. Oh, my goodness. You see what people do with pictures of Jesus now and it isn't even him? I mean, they worship some pictures and things and sculptures and churches and homes like it was him. It wasn't. It's not him. I don't know what he looks like. Have no idea. But when I see him, I'll see a friend at that revelation. And that's what we should live our lives, just, man, to see him. This is the one we've been living for. The one that we've studied his word and lived a certain way in our life and tried to restrain from sin and these things and live a life that is exemplatory of his witness, being a witness for him. And how wonderful it'll be to meet him and to see him and to be like him. This is what we are in Christ. Point 7. Your faith is the great issue of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our faith is the great issue of the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. You found 1 John, you can find 1 Peter. It's just before 1 and 2 John is 1 and 2 Peter. Let's look at 1 Peter, chapter 1. What's amazing is the revelation of Christ is all through the New Testament. I am ashamed of myself that I've not emphasized this. But boy, I'm going to correct that. 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Not everyone's going to go through tribulation. Maybe in a little while. But some are chosen to really go through some big ones. I think Rick and Terry are just prime examples. Unbelievable tribulation right now. Seeing a 14-year-old son go through all of this. And the difficult parts yet to come. And some have not. See? Some have just gone through life. But as we say, with a silver spoon. They were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Jim Passmore, he just goes through life. No. Just picking on you, Jim. But we all have tribulation. But some have picked for a lot more. In verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. That the proof of your faith, people, trials, testings, tribulations, are a test of your faith. Whatever else we want to say about them, we're going to look at tribulation in the next hour. Whatever else we want to say about them, who they're from, why they are, what kind they are, they're all a test of faith. Even tribulation and suffering because of sin, still a testing of your faith. Being more precious, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor, look, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this answers the question that we just had, brought up in the previous verses we looked at in Colossians. The revelation of Christ will be our revelation. Revelation of what in regard to us? You just see it. See? Look at the answer in verse 7 again. That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, if your faith tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 8. And though you have not seen Him, and we haven't. If you've seen the Lord, just keep it quiet. Just keep it to yourself. That's the best advice I can give you. Don't tell anyone. All right? And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Now that you can tell people. You want to tell them? Don't tell them you saw Him. Tell Him you love Him by the power of the Holy Spirit. You love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the deliverance of your souls. But see, here it is, the joy in suffering, adversity, tribulation. We have joy. How can we have joy in tribulation? How can we exalt in tribulation? How can we count it joy? Well, if we understand and anticipate seeing Him as He is, seeing Him at the revelation, that makes it all understandable. That makes it understandable. Soldier goes through a battle. World War I, World War II. Some of the battles we're in now, or maybe all of the battles. And he goes through, let's say he's on the battlefield for 12 months. Goes through all of these things. And then as in World War I and II, victorious. It's all worth it. This is worth it, a free country. This is worth all the suffering that I did. People, that's the attitude, how you can count it joy when you're going through this. And why? Because we've already read the last chapter of the book. We already know how the outcome of the war is going to be. We know it. We don't have to wait and find out. We know how it's going to end up. So we can count it joy knowing what's going to happen in the future. The revelation of Jesus Christ is motivation to live daily by faith in the Holy Spirit, to endure suffering if you're called on to do it by faith. The Holy Spirit. That brings us to point 8. As we eagerly wait for the revelation of Christ, we are conscious of our origin. What I'm trying to do here is look at verses that relate the revelation of Jesus Christ with you personally, you and me personally. We're going to have see our own resurrected body and receive it. We will be revealed at that revelation. Now this point, point 8. We eagerly wait for the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're conscious of our origin, heaven, and the origin of our Savior. Now this one I did put on the board for you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Now, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that from which... That doesn't mean that we wait from heaven. That means where He's coming from is heaven. See? You could take that as we're waiting from heaven. No. We hear citizenship in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will come from heaven. That's where we're from. So our conquering King, our Savior, our friend, is coming from where our citizenship is. He's coming from heaven. So this is just all relates to us. It's a constant reminder. When we wait, when we endure tribulation, we walk by faith, live our life, not gossip, not malign, not lie, not steal, not do all the immorality. Why are we doing? Because waiting for the revelation of Jesus Christ from where we're from. All right, that brings us to point 9. We eagerly wait for the revelation of Jesus Christ, for then we will see Him. and we will be like him. 1 John 3:1-3, which we've already read. Point 10. We eagerly wait for the revelation of Jesus Christ because when we see him, we will be with him forever. Look at Gospel of John 14. Very familiar verse to all of us. John 14. This is one that I like to read at funerals and memorial services, especially if I know the person knows these things. But even if they don't, I know it's going to happen. I know this is a reality. Gospel of John 14. Okay, let's read. Verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, what we start off with. What does spiritual love look like? That's what spiritual love looks like right there. Spiritual love is sensitive to others. The spiritual love of a husband is sensitive to his wife. The spiritual love of a wife is sensitive to her husband. Sensitive to children. Sensitive to others. The Lord is sensitive. There's going to die. They're going through a lot. He's not that worried about his own death. He's more concerned about them. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, the New Jerusalem, are many dwelling places. Big housing area going on up there. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. Why? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and where I am, there you may be also. People at the revelation of Christ will never be separated from him again. That's why we eagerly anticipate, eagerly wait for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because once we see him, we will be like him forever and ever, and be with him. Be with him is the idea here. Be right there with him forever. Point 11. The revelation of Jesus Christ brings us to our third salvation. Our first salvation, believe in Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. First advent of Christ is the first salvation. Second salvation, as we refer to it, is in by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, being delivered from sin in our personal life, experientially. We are saved or delivered. Third salvation is the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. Look on the board at Hebrews 9:28. I've already clicked it on. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear for a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly wait for him. Point 12. There are three exhortations in regard to the revelation of Jesus Christ in 1 Peter chapter 1, Verse 13, I have it on the board so we can kind of look at it together. So here we're going to look at three exhortations in regard to revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, therefore, gird your minds for action. And see, this is what I like. It's like Galatians, where in chapter 5 it says stand still, and then later on you were running well. When I wish do you want, coach? You want me to stand still or you want me to run? What do you want? I'll do whatever you want, coach. Just tell me. Well, we run in the same truth that we stand in. That's the idea. Well, that's waiting on the Lord. What do you want? I'm just sitting here watching TV, eating candy. I thought you told me to wait for you. No, we go on and live our lives. See? So, it says, gird your minds for action. Okay. What does that mean? Gird your mind. Ever had anybody say, gird your mind? My parents have never told me to gird my mind. Never. Never did mom say, gird your mind. See? Let's see what guards your mind. It means keep your minds alert. Walk with the Spirit. The battle is in your mind. You gird your mind with the Holy Spirit and Bible doctrine. That's how you gird your mind, people. You gird your mind with this book, and you gird your mind with the Holy Spirit. That's how you gird your mind. That's how you keep your mind in action. Whitaker Chambers, in the book Cold Friday, he says, the battle in the world is a battle for the mind. And that's what it is. That's where we are in America. It's a battle for the mind. And that's what Scripture says. Therefore, gird your mind for action. All right? Keep sober in spirit. This doesn't mean no drinking and all that, go on a temperance movement. This is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, not drunk with wine, not emotions, but by the Holy Spirit. Keep sober in spirit. It means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, not by emotions. Fix your hope. So we had gird your mind, keep sober, fix your hope, your confidence, completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See how many passages we have with this thing? It's just remarkable. And all the reasons why. And why it affects our lives. People, we gird our mind, we keep sober, keep our eyes fixed, because we do believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ. We believe we're going to see Him, going to be just like Him, and going to be with Him forever. So we live our lives waiting, just like that young lady. What's He going to look like? What's His name going to be? Well, we know His name. What's He going to look like? What kind of work's He going to do? On and on and on. Just that wonderful anticipation, that eagerly awaiting. Now, some of them end up saying, this is it, but hopefully that doesn't happen. But she waits, and she meets Him and marries because she's been eagerly waiting. Okay, that's the idea here. Eagerly waiting. And why are we girding our minds for action? Action is living in our Christian life. Going through tribulations, living our life. Keep sober in spirit. We'll be controlled by the Holy Spirit and not by our emotions. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you. And this is grace, people. We don't earn or deserve the revelation of Christ. It's grace. The grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. People, this is why we live our lives in this manner. I want to look at some other passages dealing with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's look. You can write them down, but I put them on the board so we could go through this rather quickly. 1 Peter 1:7. That the proof of your faith, every test, tribulation, is to test your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, tribulations, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:13. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, the amount of tribulations, keep on rejoicing. That means exult in Romans 5, exult in our tribulation. James chapter 1, count it all joy. Look what he says here. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also, at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with tribulation. Or with exaltation. That's why we exalt in our tribulations. So all these passages just go together very beautifully. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, which we've read. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things which are on earth. 1 John 3:3. And everyone who has this hope, this confidence fixed on Him, purifies himself just as He is purified. That's fixed on the coming of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:7. So that you are not lacking. This is what we're studying in our study now. Lacking in any gift, waiting eagerly for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, point 13. Subpoint 1. We are saved at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. We are graciously given 34 grace gifts from God. 34 came up with by Lewis Berry Chafer. So while we're waiting, we use our spiritual gifts. Point 2. But we remain on earth after salvation to be a witness concerning Jesus Christ. That's why we live here, people. We're a witness for Christ. Not a witness for ourselves, how we've accomplished things, what we look like, all these things, but for Jesus Christ. 3. And for this, the world hates us. If you're a witness for Christ, the world hates you, and this is becoming more and more true in our own country. 4. Therefore, we may experience great tribulation, suffering while on earth. 5. One of the primary things that allows us to keep on enduring tribulation without fainting is the confidence, the hope of the revelation of Jesus Christ. The hope of Christ's return and spending eternity with Him has caused multitude of believers to endure unbelievable tribulations throughout the church age. And you may have to suffer tribulation. Why do we do that? I know one day I will see Him. I will be with Him. I will be like Him. And I will be with Him forever. So, if I have to endure some suffering on earth, no problem. No problem. It's more than like this because we know the outcome. But it's like a young boy going into the football game. 4 quarters. Gets banged up, beat up, busted jaw, broken nose, all this stuff. All these things happen. It's okay. Because he knows at the end, at least he anticipates, we're going to be victorious here. We're going to win. So don't worry about all of that. A good football player wants to go back in even when he shouldn't. He's hurt. He's hurt. Got a brain concussion. Got broken bones in his body somewhere. He doesn't tell anybody. I went back in. Why do you want back in? You're getting beat up. You're even losing. Your team's losing. Stay on the bench. No, I want in. I want in. That's what counting at joy is. That's what exalting in it is. I want in. We have to decide if we want in this battle or not. That's why last Sunday we sang, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Am I to go to heaven just, you know, with no problems, no trials, no opportunity to witness, no opportunity to suffer? I don't want that. Be a soldier of Christ. Wait, why? Because we wait eagerly for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, Heavenly Father, we do wait eagerly. Maybe today you'll call us home. And we will see Him as He really is. We will be like Him and be with Him forever. The great marriage. Then return to earth. Maybe not. Maybe there's more tribulation today. Maybe there's suffering today. That's okay. Because we know we will be like Him and be with Him. Father, I pray that you'll take this morning's lesson and just burn it. Just burn it into our brain. Like putting a branding iron on a cow. Just burn it on our brain so they'll always know and always remember the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. That's what we're counted joy for. We shall see him, be like him, and be with him forever. Father, pray these things now in your Son's precious name and for his glory. Amen.